Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And I think there's some congratulations in order, Carissa.
I mean, today's a special day to drink wine, so yeah. We should get to it.
Okay, you want to just cut right to the chase. Okay, sure.
No, so today's a special day on so many levels. So we are actually pre-recording our show because we have a special guest who's in town joining us this week and doing some very incredible work with us. So I'm excited about that. And we also just were able to send out our exciting news that Sonoma County Wine Growers and our foundation each just received a considerable grant from California Department of Food and Agriculture, totaling between the two grants about $900,000 of investment in our wine region and in our vineyard employees, which
incredible.
Is
incredible.
Amazing. I guess I should have brought the bubble bell.
I know. We need the
bubble bell.
We need a double bubble bell.
although I will just say, we had family in town and they were listening to old episodes of The Good Stuff. And uh-oh. I guess they heard the one around my birthday with the bubble bell.
Uh-oh.
And they said it was kind of a lot of bells. So I'm going to have to be maybe a little less excited when I do have the bubble bell in studio.
Okay.
So.
All right, so I'm not the only one who's sometimes like, you know, Carissa, maybe not quite so many times.
Maybe.
It's good to get feedback, maybe.
Exactly. It was constructive criticism. So I understand. It was good feedback. Yeah, so these grants are really incredible. We've gotten several, they're called specialty crop block grants historically. In fact, we've raised about almost $3 million prior to these two new grants over the past 12 years since I've been in this role. But it is just amazing to have this kind of financial support. So how it works is these are actually farm bill dollars, which it's a really important time to be talking about farm bill because mm-hmm. it has not been authorized or reauthorized yet. That has been sitting in with our, you know, U.S. government finalize. I'm not going to point fingers at anyone. And so, but these, how the farm bill works is that it, you know, there's a lot of investment, what I would call big ag, but for specialty crops, each state gets an allocation to support specialty crop farmers. And so California obviously gets the largest proportion of those farm bill dollars for specialty crop farmers. And we can apply, and there's a lot of different categories. So we applied both for marketing, sort of market enhancement is what it's called, to support Grown in California efforts and marketing efforts and promotion. And then we also, so we applied for that through the Sonoma County Wine Growers. And then there's a training grant, so education training, especially to support what's considered underserved populations. And so we were able to apply for that grant through our foundation and all the work we do with our vineyard employees. So both really exciting. The marketing grant, thanks for asking. Oh, wait, did you ask?
I was getting to that question, but you're on a roll.
I know. It's like when I get interviewed by the media, don't give them a chance to ask the question that you don't want. You just keep talking, mm-hmm. right? And then give them the answer you want. So.
Well, and sometimes as the media, it's good to let people just talk.
Well, there you go, because you never know what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ring the bell. No. So the marketing grant's really exciting. We have funding in there to actually continue our work doing sports partnerships.
Right.
So we've had a great partnership already with the San Francisco Giants, the Houston Rockets basketball team. So this is funding for a new sports partnership, which we are already in the works mm-hmm. of establishing, heading into a different league. So we will be trying something new. It also has funding in there total over 2.5 years. So these are 2.5 year grants to bring 144, to be exact.
Okay.
Influencers, media, sommeliers, wine trade to Sonoma County through different immersion programs. So there's a couple of those grants that are focused on bringing folks in from around the state mm-hmm. up to the Bay Area into Sonoma County, as well as a couple of immersion programs to bring folks from outside of California to Sonoma County. So that's really exciting for our education, just to build more ambassadors for the region.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, I know. And then our last one, which is completely connected to our guest today, is we are, we've got a grant as part of that to do funding for an education, a program for young adults, specifically in graduate programs around the country.
Amazing.
About wine in general to really raise the wine category. And then the foundation grants are all about continuing the great work of our Leadership Academy, doing sort of an advanced Leadership Academy, and continuing education for our alumni group and all of our vineyard employees. So super exciting work. Very, very exciting.
A huge congratulations. I know there's a ton of work that goes on behind the scenes before these things become a reality.
And even more once they do become a reality.
Well, yeah, there's that. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will introduce our guest. Are back on The Good Stuff, and today we have a very special guest. We have George Day, Professor Emeritus at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania and co-chair of the Ag Sustainability Center.
Yeah, and essentially my favorite professor ever is the most important description we should give him.
So there's a lot to talk about. You have a personal connection, a long-standing friendship. Let's tell me a little bit more about Professor Day.
Yeah. So when I was getting my MBA at Wharton, one of the required classes was marketing strategy. Huh, George? Yes. And George Day was my professor, and he definitely believed in the cold call, theory of education, which was we all tried to not make eye contact with him. Yeah. And he would just, especially if you were squirming, he would definitely call on you to start the case study conversation or answer the question. But it was my favorite class, and I absolutely just not only appreciated all of his perspective, all of his experience, but just learned so much and just really kept in touch over the years. And now we've done a lot of work together, really on behalf of agriculture and farmers, dairy, as well as wine grape growers. So welcome, George. You're in studio in Sonoma County. Yeah. We're super happy to have you. Yeah, so maybe George, we gave you our version of your bio, but maybe just start off and just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you even got into being this famous academic professor and now Professor Emeritus.
And how did I become a teacher?
Yeah, exactly.
That's an important question because it goes back to my early background, working background. When I was an engineer in a chemical plant, and it's important to emphasize the chemical part. But I decided after a couple of years there to go back and get an MBA, and I want to call out the importance of mentoring because I had the most wonderful mentor at the during my MBA, and I stayed on and worked with him as a lecturer and a case writer. But Dave Layton, who subsequently ran the Canadian Olympics and the Art Center, was an enormous influence on my life, and in two ways. He also exposed me to the wonders of academic life. Mm-hmm. And there's an enormous amount of autonomy. You get to do what you want to do, subject to meeting your classes.
Yeah.
So I love that part. And the other part of the autonomy was that you could ask and answer questions and follow your curiosity. And a sidebar, which we can talk about later, is that I'm still working on this issue of the collective curiosity of organizations. Mm-hmm. Why are some so curious and as organizations, and others are oblivious to what's going on?
Agreed.
Dave Layton, I give an enormous amount of credit to, and he exposed me to the freedom, the autonomy, and the delights of being a teacher. I also had a chance to be a teacher, and that came about by happenstance when the instructor for the operations management course had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And
I don't think I even knew that.
They were casting around for someone to fill in. And I either stepped in or was dragooned, pick your term. But I ended up in front of a class where I was literally younger at probably age 25 or 24 than the average age in the class. So there was a lot of really experienced people. And it was actually a class that I hated.
That, why did you hate it?
Well, I was assigned to it. The instructor was disabled, and they needed a fill-in. So I said, huh, how are we going to do this? Yeah. So my approach was to recruit the most senior, obvious leaders in the class of about 60. And so we worked that out. We'd meet every week, and I co-opted them. And so they became my partners in making this course work. And I had such a good time doing that I decided to go back and get my PhD at Columbia. And the rest is pretty much history until I met Carissa.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And then that was the defining moment.
Right. No, but that's so interesting, George. I did not know that story. And I love, because I feel like I know you pretty well, but there's such a rich history of all of your experience. I probably couldn't possibly know them all. But it really sets up, I feel like one of the best things I've learned from you is really thinking through how to have smart partnerships and how you get a collective group moving towards a common goal. And to now understand that that was really your first attempt of maybe survival in front of a classroom so well explains a lot about your approach. So I think that's just a wonderful story.
So it's now, called survival.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So George, I was at Wharton's MBA program in 2002, graduated in 2004, and that's when our paths first crossed.
Exactly.
Do you remember it?
Vividly.
Okay. Well, we want the stories. We want the stories about what Carissa was like as a student.
Yeah.
Because I imagine there was a bell potentially that she was sitting in the front. I also imagine her hand up a lot.
Not front.
No?
Not front.
Yeah. Did you have a small dog with you?
Front row when you were in an MBA program that believed in the cold call system was a very scary place to be.
Okay.
So in any class, not George's, but in any class.
So Virginie, you made two assumptions, both of which were wrong.
Well,
that
it's not
Carissa
the only time that's happened.
Up close to the front, and that she put her hand up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you some context.
Here we go.
Okay. So,
where's the wine?
This is what I was hoping for.
There are 60 students in a horseshoe classroom. And as Carissa has mentioned, I love to cold call. Now, cold calling in a complex case discussion means that everybody waits with bated breath to see who gets called to start the case.
We call that fear.
It's, again,
90 minutes of fear.
Again, survival,
So I don't look at it that way.
Of course not, George. You were doing the calling.
it's positive motivation to be prepared.
That is true.
Yeah. So that's my framing. But so I would go in and ask a student, but half of my classes, of which were 26 hour-and-a-half sessions, began with the case discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the case discussion would proceed. And what my students subsequently told me, that they hated the fact that I would call during the class. Yes. Otherwise, the class would proceed by students putting their hand up or...
No, it's fair game.
And I would like to engage students in debate and argument. And so that was my idea. When the energy level, and it's interesting as a teacher to calibrate the energy level in a room. If it's flat, it's deadly boring to everyone.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things I learned as a teacher is that the energy level in the room can never be higher than your energy level. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense as we reflect back. Okay, now where does Carissa enter in here? So let me remind you about two salient facts about her background. She was head and shoulders above the rest of my students, which were mostly private equity, financial analysts. They were not wired to think about marketing.
That is true.
They lacked. So between us friends, I would suggest that they are not strong on empathy, standing in the shoes of the customers, consumers, and Carissa is absolutely fabulous at that. So the other aspect of Carissa's background was indeed that she'd had very senior positions as group product manager with
Honey Nut Cheerios and General Mills.
General Mills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that showed through. But so on the first day, I had already read the backgrounds of the students. So I try to memorize their
those.
Names.
Oh, of course. And,
So I would be prepared. And Carissa's background really stood out. I mean, the rest of my students had mostly accounting, finance, operations
consulting.
Background.
Yeah. Interesting. So
I was used to generating enthusiasm for marketing from non-marketers. And that's been my life. but Carissa was such a valuable resource. So I would cold call her regularly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had the feeling
because I knew she would have the answer. At least the answer I was looking for.
And, which was the right answer, obviously.
Of course.
definitely the right answer.
If Georgia had the same answer, it's definitely right.
It sounds like
yeah.
No, that was what a class and what an entree. And I think for me, a really poignant learning moment, it was that, and I've told George this, I mean, MBA school is exhausting. Don't feel sorry for us. But, you know, you're taking on a lot of courses. And I loved the marketing classes. And as you can imagine, unlike my peers, I did not love the finance and accounting classes that they were all so good at that I had to put a lot of effort into with my brain the way it works. So I... You know, spent a lot of time studying, a lot of time reading. There were multiple classes where we had case studies essentially every day to prepare. And so we had to write up, I think, two case studies in your class. And one of them, I'll be honest, I half-assed it. Can I say that? I did. I was like, I need to get this done. I did an okay job, not great. And it reflected in my grade. And then I was really disappointed in myself, and more that I was like, he caught me and I couldn't fake it. And that stuck with me in that, like, you should never not put something out that you're not proud of. And you have to just figure out how to rebalance. And not that you can't do it all, but you have to figure out how to rebalance. And so it was actually a really good learning. And I was happy that George, now at the time not so, called me out on that. He basically said I could have done better and he expected more. And it was, I'm glad he held me to that standard because it really did shape some early parts of my life and who I am now. So
I had forgotten that.
Clearly I have not.
I'm glad I leaned on you.
That's you.
You did. You definitely said you had thought I would do better, and that maybe someone else in the class you would have given a higher score to, but you thought I would have had a better approach. So I think that's a good life lesson.
Absolutely. Well, we will have to take a break pretty soon, but I'm fascinated to kind of find out, you know, from this kind of student professor relationship, mentor relationship, at what point do you develop a friendship?
Yeah.
And so maybe when we come back, we will get a little bit more into that.
I will just say it's still been hard to not call him Professor Day.
I mean,
it's really only been the last couple of years I call him George. So I will just say that, and we'll talk about all the ways we've been working together since then.
And you have not stepped up to using my nickname.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I do not do that.
Which is?
Sandy.
Okay.
So much to discuss when we come back on The Good Stuff.
We're back on The Good Stuff, and we are speaking today in studio with Professor George Day, Professor Emeritus at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, and also co-chair of the Ag Sustainability Center. And when we left, we were getting some good stories about Chris's time in class with Professor Day, all the great things that you learned and absorbed in school. But then at some point, a friendship developed. So tell us how that happened.
Well, and I think really a working relationship that's turned into a friendship.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, now 20 years in running, because I graduated MBA school in 2004. Yeah. So after MBA school, in my time meeting George, Professor Day.
Yes.
went on to work for dairy management. That was my first job out of MBA school, which is essentially the dairy checkoff program and works on behalf of the dairy farmers around the United States. And we were really looking for ways to drive innovation in the dairy industry, which not probably a surprise, and certainly 18, 20 years ago, very much needed. I worked doing strategic projects directly with our CEO at the time, Tom Gallagher, and he was just an incredible leader. And I said, you know what? I think we should involve the Wharton School. And I have the professor who has done so much work and research and worked with so many large companies and small companies on really driving change and understanding how to be forward looking. And so I brought George in to start doing some work with the dairy industry, and the CEO, Tom, just loved him. And in fact, I'm still in touch with the CEO, Tom, today, and we still talk about the fond relationship that he had with George and developed, and just the great work George did in the dairy industry. So that was kind of the start. So that was kind of a more professional, some follow-ups. I then ended up moving out, obviously, to California, and then ending up in the wine business and working for Wine Grape Growers, which was a good farmer change. No offense, dairy farmers. Love you still. But clearly love wine and love our wine grape growers here. And so I had this idea back in what I think it was like 2016, early 17, really that we needed a lot more outside thinking to support our long-term goals and really sustainability and preservation of agriculture in Sonoma County and promoting our wine region. And if you think about it, and we pride ourselves on these multi-generational farmers, but that also means our farmers have mostly not lived other places and done other jobs, which provides an incredible perspective and experience to lean on. So they are excellent at being farmers in Sonoma County, but maybe not have as much outside thinking. And so that was the whole impetus, is could we curate a group of 20, 25 outside thinkers, partner them with farmers here, and really do sort of a think tank model, fellowship model for maybe four times in a couple of years. But I needed the ringer, otherwise known as the ringleader, otherwise known as the facilitator or co-chair in this case professionally. So I got on a plane and flew back to Philadelphia and asked George if he'd like to meet, I think for coffee or lunch, and pitched the idea. And George, what did you think?
I think it's important that you understand that it took me at least a nanosecond to agree, because I was all in. for two reasons. It fit my capabilities and experience, and I had an enormous amount of respect, confidence in Carissa and Carissa's judgment, and her leadership acumen is exceptional. So it fit my background, and as Carissa well knows, my consulting practice, I have my own company on the side, largely is about facilitating senior leadership meetings, and my client is usually the CEO, the chief operating officer, and my arrangement with them, my understanding or my dictate to them is that it's my meeting. Your organization, and but I want to run the meeting as I hear it, and so my general approach is to push the organization. Remember, I have no stake in the outcome. And
except
so
he does like wine, so he does want wine to survive from Sonoma County.
No, I'm getting to my my process.
Oh, there you go.
So
there we go.
There's a third factor. Which
he didn't call on me, and I answered anyway. So sorry, everyone.
Yeah. So, in my consulting role as a facilitator for strategic planning meetings, I get to call the shots and push them into areas that they don't want to go to, and but I probably already know that, but since I don't have a stake in it, I can push them. Mm-hmm. So that's my background. When Carissa first approached me, there were two things. One was Carissa and her leadership acumen, and the second was that I had lived in Europe and probably bicycled through every major wine growing area in Europe. So I knew, so my approach to wine is that the more I know, the less I know. Mm-hmm. But I love fine wine.
Wow.
And especially Sonoma Coast, Pinots, mm-hmm. and Chardonnays, Russian River. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of it.
So we're glad to hear.
So the reason I'm giving you these pieces, that my first assignment, Carissa, was in 8 years ago when I had a session with your executive committee.
Absolutely.
And that was so much fun.
And so insightful. I mean, you got lot of information out of them I had never heard.
Well,
by calling on them.
He
probably.
Did. Yeah. He absolutely did call. I kind of liked that part.
Yeah.
So I had signed up for this meeting, and then I said, well, I understand. And by the way, I greatly admire the audacity of the becoming 100% sustainable.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
That struck me, and I'll maybe talk a little bit more about the value of stretch goals or ambitious mm-hmm. goals. But so when I heard about the sustainability initiative, I asked, how do you define sustainable? Because I had my ideas and fair bit of experience and enormously concerned about climate change. So Carissa said, hang on, we'll courier overnight our definition. And so I got this 300-page binder. And I was enormously impressed at the rigor, the discipline, and the outside auditing. And so I had some idea of just the magnitude of what was being accomplished. But
we did send wine with the binder.
I hope so. Like,
of course.
Yes. They go together.
Well, yeah. And so I was going to say, so we, with George on board, we were then able to, with such a strong partner in this, literally invite folks from all sorts of different disciplines. I like to say we have the prior deputy director of Homeland Security under Bush and Obama on the Ag Center. We have a communications expert. Gosh, the list goes on. Someone really has been focused on diversity and housing. We have someone that's been really focused on the water center and, you know, climate. Yep. We had the sustainability lead for the New York Yankees baseball team. Mm-hmm. We had the former chief marketing officer of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, who then went on to run the Nature Conservancy.
A natural progression.
Obviously, clearly. And so many great folks that actually said yes to this kind of random endeavor. Right. Yeah. And we've been at it now for 8 years and are about to have our session tomorrow. So we'll chat a little bit more about the Ag Center when we come back from this break on The Good Stuff. Are back on The Good Stuff with my favorite professor, known as Professor George Day, or now I call him George, finally. I got comfortable with that, and we were just talking about how and why he signed up to be the co-chair, facilitator of our Sonoma County Center for Ag Sustainability, known as the Ag Center, which is literally kind of a subject matter expert from different folks, think tank, fellowship, where they come to Sonoma County and really help our farmers tackle some of our biggest challenges and help us really think about how we grow our business and stay sustainable, viable, economically viable for literally the next generation. And we're just kind of pondering why so many people said yes and their commitment. And George said he had a hypothesis, is what he said during the break. So George, being Professor Extraordinaire, what is your hypothesis?
You'll notice how Carissa relishes being able to answer.
I'm cold calling on him.
Yeah, I know. I can see
and,
catch
and
dynamic.
Pose the questions.
Exactly.
So
the tables have turned.
But I'm going to expand it to two other dimensions or aspects. Why did we all sign up with great enthusiasm for the Ag Sustainability Center, the think tank? But I want to extend it to the Farm of the Future ecosystem with all the partners.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of research on what makes a good partnership. And firstly is trust.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Far and away the most important. And trust is a consequence of past accomplishments, current ability, and confidence that something will happen. And all of us, I think, trusted Carissa in particular, but I also had an enormous amount of trust in the farmers on that I had met and worked with on the executive committee. So I think underlying all of that is the reason that we signed up so enthusiastically. Then subsequently, we built a powerful community of friendships.
Yeah.
That's in part because of the diversity of the backgrounds, because I enormously respect what my colleagues on the Ag Sustainability Center have done and what they will have in the past contributed. And so there's enormous amount of trust. And you notice that only subsequently did I discover that all of us love wine,
which is important.
Very fine wine,
right? Yes. And Virginie, I should say, is also part of our Ag Center. And this was supposed to be just a 2-year, 4-session commitment, and we're now 8 years in because they actually keep inviting themselves back.
Yeah, we do. We're willing.
But along that trust, I just also, it would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that George signing on to be our facilitator and partner with his incredible background and connection to Wharton also provided a huge credibility for this startup think tank and a trade association doing something kind of out of the box in Sonoma County. So thank you, George. That's why you were the first person I went to, because I knew if we were working together that I think we could curate that. So, and I should say we have about a minute before we have to take our next break. And I would just say so much great work has come out of it. It really was the inspiration for our global Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience event. We co-wrote a case study. Well, I should say George wrote a case study and allowed me to edit it a little bit and put my name on it. So that was awesome about all of our work together. Yeah. Really gave us the fodder for our Farm of the Future initiative, which has brought global partners like John Deere and Ford Pro, Wilbur Ellis, regionally agrology to the table, because George also signed up to facilitate that Farm of the Future Summit last year.
Also meaningful.
So, I mean, I think there's just been so much great work when you bring interesting people together to just try to solve problems. Yeah. So with that, we will take our final break of the show and come back to wrap it up.
On the good stuff. And just a quick reminder that this is a pre-recorded show because we have Professor George Day here in town and Ag Sustainability Center meetings this week, which kick off tonight. I'm very excited to take part in. And I feel like it's an incredibly meaningful way to spend time thinking about the Farm of the Future, all these partnerships. It's been really an incredible experience for me. So thank you to both of you for including me and look forward to our meetings tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's been so, just the more perspectives, the better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
And I mean, and we've had some really heated discussions about what we should do in the direction and what's possible, what's feasible, what's imaginable.
Yeah.
So lots of good stuff. It's literally one of my favorite things we do as an organization is support sort of doing what's next.
Collective curiosity. That's always what I have in mind.
Well, I have some collective curiosity because he won't tell us in advance, but it's time to do our good stuff, what we're drinking on Tuesday night, or in this case, it could be tonight, a Wednesday or any night.
Yeah.
But because he wouldn't share, George, what is going to be your good stuff Tuesday night wine?
So I have two options. Depending on the guests, the nature of the occasion, what's happening on
context.
Tuesday night.
Okay.
But my go-to is Dutton Goldfields 2022 Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Okay. We like that.
He may get sent that a few times.
He's had the chance to taste that regularly. That's good.
Yeah.
I like to... I don't pair wine with food. I like what I like.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
great.
In the wintertime, I tend to go towards a Occidental Vineyards Pinot from 2019, Catherine's Cuvée.
Oh yeah, okay. Catherine Cuvée.
Yeah, I like that wine.
He did well.
Mm-hmm.
Nice surprises. Well, for me, I'm going to continue with the Dutton Ranch Chardonnay theme, but also do the Patson Hall Chardonnay in their Dutton Ranch Vineyard designated.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
And my pick this week is, James McPhail is buying back his former brand, McPhail Wines, and which is great news for him, a great story. I'm going to pick one of his wines, the Calling 21 Fox Den Pinot Noir.
Okay. Yum. Yeah.
So we can all get together and drink them all.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and starting tonight, we're going to the Beach Boys with our Ag Center guests. They're in town and arriving all day long. And so excited to do that fun little activity before George puts us all to work tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we want to thank you, Professor George Day, for joining us today on The Good Stuff. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.
Thank you for having me.
All right. right. We are back with a bonus segment of The Good Stuff. We have Professor George Day, Professor Emeritus from the Wharton School of Business, in studio with us. We just wrapped up a great conversation with him about not only his work as a professor, but his leadership here as our co-chair of the Ag Center for Sustainability, which is our Sonoma County Wine Growers, essentially our think tank with subject matter experts from around the country. And George, I got this curious email literally this morning asking for an endorsement of this new book you're writing. And tell me about that. And our Sonoma County Wine Growers, how do we fit in?
You absolutely fit in. And have informed my thinking about growth leaders. So the title of the book is Innovate to Grow, Gaining and Sustaining a Growth Advantage.
I love it. I'll endorse it.
I've spent the last 10 years, academics don't do anything quickly, but we do it thoroughly.
Yes,
and,
you do.
So what I've found in working with, talking with, and surveying 200 companies, that there's a small set of growth leaders among them, and I work a lot with Adobe, MasterCard, and companies of that sort. Distinctive competence is embedded in four innovation disciplines, all of which Sonoma County Wine Growers exhibits. And the first is leadership commitment to innovation, expressed through acquiring talent. Their emphasis is on talent. The second part is ambitious, if you like, audacious goals. And
I do
I have always called out the ambitious ambitions of the goal to become 100% sustainable. And so the third discipline is open-minded pursuit of opportunities beyond the usual. Mm-hmm. And so that's the farm of the future. And I think we've talked about the trust that has been engendered in the partners and why they want to sign up. And then the fourth discipline is an innovation discipline of that growth leaders have mastered, is their ability to accomplish the work of innovation. So again, it all deteriorates, if you like, down to work. And it's hard
dang,
work.
Dang
to
that
innovate.
Thing. Nothing yeah. just happens without the work.
Yeah. And, can't just think.
I think Carissa and the team have done a fabulous job in following through and getting it done.
Yeah, and I say, thank you. I love that, but I also would give so much credit, which I always say is the secret sauce of Sonoma County Wine Growers, and that's our farmers.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we have incredibly open-minded, curious, innovative, hard-working, family-oriented farmers here that are up to trying things. And I would say that in my experience, it's not always the case. In ag, it's not always the case. George, you're saying in the businesses, it's actually a small number. And I would say that's also true probably in farming in general. And I can say that because I grew up a farm kid. So I have that in my family roots. But these farmers here in Sonoma County, the wine growers, are just an incredibly collaborative and open to sharing ideas and learning. So I think, you know, you can't work together, bring in partners, and try things, pilot things, if no one's willing to share the data, the mm-hmm. learning, and kind of open their books to, here's what we're doing to help everyone do better, use less resources, be operationally more efficient. And that I always, because I know the wine growers, whenever I get asked to speak, some of my board members are like, don't tell them what we do. And I'm like, they can't replicate it without you. So,
that's right.
You know, that's the secret sauce to all of this, is that you can have the best idea, the best direction, the best facilitator, all of that. But if, again, it comes down to the work, and the farmers here are willing to commit. And that's huge. That's the game changer, George.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about the other wine growing regions.
Okay.
Not naming names, but there is, my research is on growth leaders, but that's only 18% of all the firms in a sector. The other 82% are reactive or very, very risk averse and slow in response. So by calling them out as reactive, they mostly copy when they're forced to. And they've lost a lot of degrees of freedom. And so I think in Sonoma County wine growers, we have an abundance of the four innovation disciplines and an ability to capture the opportunities and the technology and then be the leader.
No, and I love that. We didn't get to talk about Farm of the Future very much in our actual show today, but we have talked about it on previous shows. Virginia, I've spent a lot of time talking about it. But, I mean, your partnership in that as well. So last summer we hosted a summit. We had, I think, about 25 companies from around the U.S. Participate with that. And out of that really came the John Deere partnership, which is incredible. We solidified the Wilbur Ellis partnership, Agrology new partnership, and we're planning to do another summit. And maybe I'm going to ask George if he'll facilitate it while we're on air, so he can't turn me down. This is called cold calling, George. How does it feel? But we would like to do our next Farm of the Future summit in May and bring you back to help us facilitate that. But I think that's what's exciting is we've sort of laid this groundwork, and now we can just keep building on it and doing more with it.
Sign me up.
Okay, all there right. We go. There we got it on the record. Well, I think this has been a great segment. I think we'll maybe wrap it up there. I love the concept of the new book, and thanks for talking about that. I will happily sign me up for endorsing that. Excited to do that, and really, again, excited for our next couple of days together, thinking through the future as much as we possibly can.
And enjoying some nice wine along the way.
And a lot of company. So there you go. All right, everyone. Again, from wherever you are, drink the good stuff.